Father, we thank you because you are faithful. And your word is yea and amen. Your word is eternal. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. Father, we declare this morning that your word will transform our lives for good in the name of Jesus. We will not be hearers alone, but we will be doers of your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let your truth transform us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Today I have a title, Hirelings or the Heirs. Let me spell that out. Hireling is H-I-R-E-I-L-I-N-G-S. We know what that means? H-I-R-E-L-I-N-G-S. Hirelings. That's a very archaic word for servants or tenants or people that you lease something to. H-E-I-R is hair, right? Who is an hair? A person legally entitled to a property, to an asset, to a kingdom, to a anything, resources, or the rank that is given to another person, but mostly when the original owner dies, that's when you can inherit that. Who is an hireling? A person that is engaged to do specific task for a period of time with expectation of reward. Technically, any employee is an hireling in that company. Except you are a director and you have shareholding in that company, you're an employee. Except you have stake in that company, you are an employee. Most people that own their businesses, you know that the people you employ to do projects for you or to do stuff for you, they only care about, I'm going to start this work at this time, I'm going to finish it at this time, and I'm going to get my pay. Whether you're making profit or not profit, it's not a problem of the person you're hiring. So I'm going to challenge people that have businesses. If you employ somebody, does that person ask you, are you making profit? From experience? No. Do they care whether you make profit?
No.
Do they complain if you don't pay them on time?
Yes.
Do they worry that, oh, maybe you're not going to make money personally? What is their major goal?
I'm going to get paid. No matter what.
In the church today, we have a lot of hirelings. They don't care if the kingdom is filled up with souls saved. They only get their concerns straightened out when they get paid. They're hirelings. They are not shareholders. They have no stake in the kingdom of heaven that Jesus was preaching. Remember what we did today? It's an amazing, timely message of repentance. Jesus said, the kingdom is near. Bring everybody in as much as possible. Jesus only looked out for 12 stakeholders, those that will buy the share in the kingdom of heaven, and they will care whether the business runs successfully or not. In the church today, the leadership is filled with a lot of people that are employees. Employee bishops, employee pastors, employee reverends, employee choir members, employee teachers, employee leaders everywhere, deacons and ministers. The disheartening part of it is when you have employee pastor. Because he has no specific interest in the kingdom, he does not have a long-term interest in what is going to happen is if you can make service start today and end on time and everything looks pretty and good and everybody thinks that, oh wow, we made the day. Like you said, where's my check? If the check is not coming, they don't want to wait and believe and hope that, well, don't worry about paying me right now. When you get another job, I'm going to come around. No, they don't care. The hirelings are the ones pretty much running most of the things you see in churches today. They are not heirs of the kingdom. They are not the ones that they know for sure they will inherit the kingdom of God. My challenge to you this morning is, which one are you? Are you working for God? Or you are partnering with God? When he says, go out and preach the gospel, you're like, sir, how much are you getting paid? I thought they asked you that question when we went for evangelism. So, by the way, how much are you guys getting paid for this work? Because they're trying to test your resolve of who you are in this kingdom business. I'll quickly analyze this sermon or this parable of the tenants, Mark chapter 12, and we're going to finish up with Ezekiel 33. Jesus was challenged in the book of Mark chapter 12, the reading that we just took. If you open with me, Mark chapter 12, but we're going to start, the story actually started in Mark chapter 11. It was a question. Some group of people came to meet Jesus when Jesus was in Jerusalem. And you know these people? They were chief priests, teachers of the law, and the elders. I'm reading from Mark chapter 11. If you start from verse 27. They arrived again in Jerusalem where Jesus was walking in the temple courts. Look at the set of people that were there. Number one, chief priests. Number two, teachers of the law. Three, elders. And they posed this question. Number one, by what authority are you doing these things you are doing? Second question, who gave you the authority? Those are two different authorities. Who gave you authority to do and the power to do what you are accomplishing? Number two, why do you think you are stepping your boundary and you're coming into the temple to come and do that same thing here? So they sounded like the same authority, but there are two different authorities there. And then Jesus said, huh? And if you look at your Bible carefully, please, with me, verse 31. And 32. Look carefully at your Bible. You will see something there. I don't know if you have seen it before. Verse 29. Jesus replied, I will ask you also, answer me. I'll tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. John's baptism, was it from heaven or from man? Tell me. Okay. See how they answered it. You have to picture this in your mind. Verse 31. See what they did. They discussed it among themselves. And said, wait, if we say John the Baptist is from heaven, if we then ask, then why didn't you believe him? So they said, that's not a good answer. Verse 32. But if we say from men, do you know what you have in your Bible? Dot, dot, dot. Was not a complete statement. They never answered Jesus. Anything you see in the open bracket, close bracket, was an explanation of what was meant to have been said. It was never said. So here is what happened. If we say John the Baptist came from heaven, that would be a wrong answer because we don't believe John the Baptist. If we say it's from men, no answer. But it was filling the gap. They said, well, because everyone believed in John as a prophet, so it was. So Jesus just said, verse 33. In fact, they concluded. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Jesus said, I'm not going to tell you. And he told them a parable right away. Remember, Jesus was not talking to people on the street. He was talking to chief priests, elders, and teachers of the law. Those that should be able to interpret the law of God. Told them of a parable of a man that planted a vineyard. Every time you plant a vineyard, the goal is for you to grow something in there. And in verse 1 said, he rented the vineyard to a group of people to manage. He put watchtower there. Watchtower is basically an high-rising platform where you put somebody to watch, maybe to announce something is coming or whatever, mostly for protection. In verse 2, at harvest time, the owner has sent people back and say, hey, go get me something from the farmyard I have. And all kinds of things happen. One important thing about this parable is more of a man that has planted a beautiful vineyard and he has rented it out to people. The kingdom of earth has been given to us to take over, to have dominion. But most times we think we're in charge. We're not. It has been leased to us by God, and as many as have believed the gospel, God wants us to bring forth fruit out of this vineyard. And what people did there, it was amazing. They said, he sent forth prophets before, they killed them. He sent another servant, killed. At the end of the day, he sent one son. And I don't know if you have ever challenged this in the scripture. What is the meaning of begotten? It's a past participle of beget. Right? And beget is what? Because we always quote that scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That he gave his only begotten son. What is the meaning of begotten? We skip that every time. So what is it?
It's a one and only one that will come out of his and get the word.
Very good, very good. In fact, the word in biology or in Latin was monogenesis. In other words, mono means one. Genesis is like beginning of something. In other words, he gave his only source, the only son that can come directly from the source. He gave. The only son that can ever directly come from the source, he gave. So he said his only son. That's the same word here he used, right? One and only. They said, this is now the, hey, let's kill him. The danger in our responsibility and not knowing who we are is we think we are hirelings for Jesus. We're working for Jesus. In fact, when I hear people say I'm a worker, and many times, the definition of a worker is working for the pastor. That's an error. In fact, it's an heresy. A worker is absolutely partnering with God to bring souls to Christ, as well as the pastor is doing the same. They only have specific responsibilities at a point in time. Because a worker today will become pastor or reverend or bishop tomorrow, and even next week may become an evangelist without any title. Are you an hireling in the kingdom of heaven? Or are you an heir? You know how you're going to know? Number one, you are not looking for quick reward. Who's going to thank me for all these things I'm doing? What am I going to gain from this? Oh, I'm spending too much time in this work. I could be facing something else. You're an hireling. In fact, Jesus mentioned of an hireling that if you see an hireling, you know what? And you trust that hireling to take care of your sheep. John chapter 10. When the wolves will come, you know what the hirelings will do? It will take cover. Oh, say all these bad animals are coming. I better hide. If you don't pray for other believers, you are like an hireling that oversees sheep. You don't go out and defend the sheep, you're an hireling. An heir of the kingdom will be like, oh no, you can't steal this. You're going to fight the wolves. How do we do that spiritually? You pray for others. I'll quickly run through the list of things I know hirelings look for. If you can take note. Any ministry that depends on hirelings is only guaranteed for a short time. any ministry that depends on hirelings to run the church, to run the ministry, whether it is counseling ministry, evangelistic ministry, supporting other people, the missions out there, encouraging people, feeding the poor, if you trust those ministries to the hirelings, these things you're going to see. Number one, many sheep will be lost to wolves. When there is a sweet talking person that comes to deceive the people, sheep will follow that guy. Because the real hireling or the person that should be defending them is like, I can't stand the talk of this. I can't stand the pressure. I can't stand the argument. I can't stand all these issues here. There's a lot of problem right here. Hireling, we abandon the sheep for pleasure. Oh, we have been fasting too much in this church. It's a good time for us to just take like 6 weeks or 6 years of vacation. No fasting, no prayer, no outreach, no community development project, nothing. Let's just do what we used to do and we'll be fine. Jesus loves us this way. That's an hireling. It's not motivating the people. Is only driving them to pleasure. An hireling will feed the sheep with non-essential food. You know, do you know what they do to the chicken and turkey you buy in HEB? They cage them, pen them, feed them with all kinds of things, put hormones in their food. They look big just because they're supposed to be consumed. An hireling will preach a sermon that will make you big. We make you fat. We put hormones in you and make you excited. The only thing that will happen, God forbid, is that soul will suffer a shipwreck. You have to be afraid and be aware of hirelings in the church. Hirelings will not take care of the lambs. Remember, I differentiated between lamb and sheep the last time? A lamb is a very young sheep. Most of them cannot differentiate between good food and bad food. An hireling will just carry sheep and lamb, put them in the same pen, and feed them the same thing. You know what will happen to the lamb? They will probably die. Because they're eating raw things that they shouldn't eat. It's just like you take a baby and you start giving them pounded yam or steak. Thank you. What do you call that? Rib stuff? Ribeye? You giving babies ribeye? They're just going to choke. Not because it's not good, but this is not the right time. An hireling will sacrifice sheep for his safety. When you use church member or somebody that you're mentoring or whatever, you sacrifice them for your safety. You know how? You shield them. Use them as shield. Hirelings never grow. Hirelings only look for their reward. Hirelings only look for comfort when they're serving. Hirelings will do anything to make the numbers look good. Do you know, if you are going to ask, I'm sure the people doing business, if you ask the people that are working for you, always come 8 o'clock and you're going to leave 5 o'clock. If you don't show up there until 12 and ask them, when did you check in? They will be like 7:59. They always make the number look good. Are we making the number look good for statistics? Or are we really counting on making souls count for Christ? If we're hirelings, know what we'll keep doing? We'll send pretty reports. We do all the good things. We're going to make it look great. We're going to be like that man that I told you about that saw an arrow was shot at the wall. Perfect, 6 of them. And he was asked, how did you do it? You know, bullseye. 6 bullseyes. And they asked him, how did you do it? He said, easy. I paint my wall white. I shoot any 5 arrows. And I go around there. I paint the bullseye around it. Whatever I shoot. Say, the problem is not, you don't need to know how to shoot. You just need to know how to paint. Most Christians know how to paint. They don't know how to shoot. We talk a lot, To save people, we evangelize. We pray for them. We reach out to them. We hand them materials, whatever. That is painting. Do you want to know how to shoot and shoot bullseye? You have to go out there and get somebody for Christ. Many hirelings love the appearance. They want big title. They want to sit in front. They want big names. And I'm sure you've heard these many pastors. If you call them without putting pastor in front of them, they feel like robbed. Like, oh, thank God today we have in our midst brother ABC. He's going to look back. He knows the name. His name is ABC. But he's looking back as when they're not calling me yet. They've not mentioned all my achievements in our parish. They've not mentioned how I raised money. I think you meant, who said that during the prayer? You mentioned that today. They love title, responsibility. That, oh yeah, he's the senior pastor, executive coordinator of all the special programs and outreach overseas, and is our brother leading prayers. That is, then you feel like, I'm a child of God. That's an hireling. I love that story that pastor told last week of the real McCoy. How can a pastor serve so long that you have retired 30 something years and he just realized he has probably been an hireling for 30 years getting paid. Now to become an hire, you have to make a trip to India. I will close in 3 minutes. I promise you. Every hireling has a tenure. There is a time limit for their job. Most of us today were hirelings. But do you know the heirs of the kingdom forever? They know that the kingdom belongs to them. That was what Jesus said when he was going. I'm coming back to take you because you're going to be with the Father forever. The book of Ezekiel was a very hard one. And that's what I'm going to close with today. Ezekiel 33 was a hard one. Because it was a very strong instruction to those that are taking leadership position or elders or teachers in the church of God, and they're not sounding the right warning. If you don't sound the right warning, people will not react. People will not react. And there's a strange thing that will happen. It says the blood of those people will be on them. Of course, we know what islands will do. Shield yourself with the sheep. If the people are shooting arrow at you and you have the sheep, take one sheep. I block it. Do you know? Yeah. They sacrificed a lot of sheep for that. Question is, how many people are we willing to sacrifice in the kingdom of God? My challenge to you this morning is, are you seeing yourself as an hireling? Of course, you are not paid in cash, but you are paid in any other form you feel gratified. I'm not in this to be paid, because I'm not willing to negotiate my price here. Those who get paid here have negotiated their price. As how much they're worth, as how much they're gonna get. My price is when I wake up one morning like he promised. And then we're going to be like stars of heaven. That's what it says in the book of Isaiah. Say those that win souls, they will be like the stars of heaven. You can also read that in the book of Daniel. That is what my goal is. And I want you to also want that to be your goal. Quit being an hireling. Quit being an employee for Jesus. Quit being somebody that gets paid per hour or per whatever. It's not how much miracle God does for you. Is that much work you do for God? Is that not what the president said? President of America? Stop asking what your country will do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. So I ask you the same question. Stop asking what God can do for you. Ask what you can do for God. Not that you can help him, but that you can negotiate eternally with him. Shall we rise to pray?